Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
She was a vampire who could never see the light of day.
He was a zombie shuffling his way through the afterlife.
Love would bring them together,
but human flesh would tear them apart.
They were doomed to be on Sci-Fi and Scream.
Tuesday nights from 10 on Joy 94.9.
Salve, I am Claudio Simonetti, the Goblin keyboard player, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Screen on Joy 94.9.
Yes, welcome to Joy 94.9, and this is indeed Sci-Fi and Scream. Here in the station on Bourke Street, we are live to air tonight. I want to say thanks to a very brand new show that we have here at Joy, and that is the Stand Up Straight Guys. Thank you so much. Brilliant show, and we certainly do need plenty of our straight alliance out there. Speaking of alliance, and not the Rebel Alliance, we have in the studio, and in the background, you can actually hear some Suspiria. Now, the reason we're playing that is we have a fantastic interview, a little bit of a snippet of an interview with the man himself, the other man, not Claudio Simonetti or Dario Gento, but let me get the name right, Maurizio Guarini. I had to practice that for hours in front of the bathroom mirror. Goodness. Okay, happy days. Here we are, Sci-Fi and Scream. Welcome to Profondo Thrillo. I call it that because it's pre-Oz Comic Con, and we actually have three guests in the studio tonight. Welcome, Dean.
Thank you. Rankin. It's nice to be here.
That's great. We'll explain what you're all about in a moment.
Awesome.
And we've got Mia as well.
Hi.
Mia's in here. Get a bit closer to the microphone, Mia.
How's that?
Thanks very much. Okay, and Mia, Kate Russell.
Yes.
Excellent. And Justin. Justin's here.
Hello.
Justin Dix.
Hello.
I've got that right?
That's great.
That's good. All right. And the reason that you guys are all in here and we're all chatting in the confines of the studio here at Joy 94.9 is not just because you're going to be at Oz Comic Con, but there's so many great things coming up for the three of you. And one of them is Crawl Space for Justin. And that's a film that's going to be premiering at the Astor here in Melbourne. We're very excited. It's the first time it's been on a screen, I believe, anywhere in the world.
No, not anywhere to the world.
Oh, not anywhere.
No, for Melbourne public.
The Melbourne public.
Australian, well, yeah, Melbourne public, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, right?
Well, it sounded better, but anyway.
It sounded fantastic, but it's not true.
And we always tell the truth here on Sci-Fi and Scream. And, of course, for Mia, now Mia Kate Russell has also got something that's premiering. I hope I'm right.
It is a world premiere. Yeah. It hasn't actually been finished yet. It should be finished in 2 days, we're hoping. So it'll be a premiere for all of us.
And what is this one in particular?
It's called Swallow. It's the world's first gay priest Western werewolf film.
Goodness.
It's a short film.
That sounds awesome.
It's just under 10 minutes. It's got some fantastic actors in it.
Yeah.
Lula McClutchie, who I think you've had here a few times. Kevin D. J. Bowen. Has some fantastic effects in it. Wrote it, directed about 12 months ago now. Justin's also the producer.
Right,
of
okay.
The film.
Well, it's good you've got him here.
It is.
Make sure you, you know, say the right thing. I don't know. What does a producer actually do?
You know,
Mia?
What? I know that now because I've always wondered that. The producer makes sure that the film gets finished.
Oh, and so hence.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is
cracks the
your
whip,
time.
Basically. Cracks the whip.
Cracks the whip.
Yeah. Make sure it keeps moving. The, getting it finished.
Yeah.
The producer's like the unsung hero of the film, I guess.
Okay.
So probably the most important person besides the director.
Yeah, the director's not that important.
Well,
I think Mia might have something to say about that.
It's a team effort.
Yes, it is, absolutely.
All right. Yeah. And Dean, of course, lucky last but not forgotten in this. You've only
Thank
just started
you,
the show, pretty much. Dean, what do you do?
I guess I'm known most for, because I draw comics and I write and draw for Simpsons comics.
And what's that? Now I'm being stupid and facetious, sorry. Big word. Dean, how long have you been doing The Simpsons?
I've been doing it for about 2.5 years, I think.
Okay.
What happened, I was doing some stuff for, you know, those kids' magazines that you get at newsagents, at supermarkets, Adventure Time kind of things. And the work dried up, so I wandered down to Dandenong Coles and had a look about what kind of things they were selling, and it was wall-to-wall Simpsons. And I had this big idea. I bought one and flicked through it, and it all looked pretty good, but there was one page I thought, you know what, I could just about do that. And so from then on I started sending stuff in. So I think it was about like the third story I sent through that they actually accepted.
Fantastic. So you're good at copying stuff? Is that what you do? I mean, what do you call it, that style of
work?
Well,
I guess it's kind of, sort of copying the style. That's right. It's an interesting style because it looks, I think it's deceiving because you think it's kind of reasonably simple to draw, but if you start drawing Bart Simpson and you know when it's wrong, it's just such a well-known kind of look of the characters.
It is. Yeah. You can't keep, like, for example, you wouldn't be able to deviate too much, would you? Get too crazy with it?
No, there is space to do that, and I was pretty bad to start with, but I kind of feel as time goes on, I'm getting a little bit better at, you know, at least it looks like Bart Simpson now.
Right, what did it look like before? Just a bit off,
you know.
Yeah. The Australian version.
Yeah, the Australian version.
Bart's cousin.
Did it have a Yakubra hat?
Yeah, exactly,
or,
right, yeah.
You know, a big knife or something.
Yeah, riding kangaroos and stuff like that. You know.
Cool. Now, also, for those people who are listening tonight, if you are a Joy member and if you're not, what are you doing listening? Well, you need to obviously change that. You can go online these days and actually join by going to joy.org.au, or you can ring Jerry out the front, phone 1300 Joy 949, because we have a fabulous prize to give away to a lucky member tonight, and it's Goblin. Yes, it's not a goblin. It's a double pass to see the guys and listen to them, of course, to Goblin, and they're playing Sunday, July the 14th at the Billboard. The venue is the Billboard, and that's in Russell Street, Melbourne. All thanks to Principal Entertainment and Riot House Publicity. So they're coming all the way from Italy and from Canada and from Britain and where else they're ever dispersed these days to play a one-off only gig here in Melbourne. We're very, very lucky to have this double pass. So if you are an up-to-date Joy member, please contact us. You can SMS us on 0427 Joy 949. I had the Foo Fighters in my mind, sorry. Or you can phone us on 1300 Joy 949 and let us know what your membership number is, or give us your name. Contact Jerry again on that number, 1300 Joy 949, to go into the draw, and we will draw that much later this evening in the next 45 minutes or so. So this is Sci-Fi and Scream, and yeah, it's going to be a fun next 45 minutes, I think. What do you guys think in the studio here?
All right, why not?
Yeah.
So stay tuned, and don't forget to go into the draw for this great prize.
Hello, beautiful Princess Sonia. It's me, Mario. Woohoo! You're number one. Woohoo!
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Hey, this is Fran Kranz, Joss Whedon's Vassal, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on 94.9.
And that is Profondo Rosso, or Deep Red. It is the Suspirio guys again. Oh, I should say Goblin. Get it right, Sonia. Goblin. And if you want to win a double pass to see them live in the flesh, you can do if you're a Joy member. 0427 Joy 949. Phone Jerry, who's wearing fur tonight. 1300 Joy 949. Or you can email as well, onair@joy.org.au. And let us know what your favourite Suspiria, Dario Gento, our favourite Suspiria segment in the whole film, because there's quite a few amazing special effects in there. And or if not, just let us know what your favorite Goblin track of all time is, because we're here and we will take those calls. And in the studio I've got Dean Rankin, better known as the Simpsons doppelganger,
that guy.
I've got Mia as well, Mia Kate Russell. I'm getting it right, I think, finally. And Justin Dix is here too, to talk about Crawl Space. Tell us about Crawl Space.
Well, Crawl Space is a feature film basically made here in Australia. It's an Australian sci-fi action thriller horror film. And it's having its Melbourne premiere at the Astor at 7 p.m. and it's going to be fantastic. Mm. And I can't wait to see it with a massive, fantastic Astor audience.
Because the Astor audiences, they're special. Special people.
Yeah, yeah.
But in a good way. I don't mean,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, no, not in that way. But, they're
very special.
And
they've got a massive screen, so...
No, it's fantastic, yeah. I mean, look, our film looks amazing. It was shot by an amazing DOP, Simon Oserlin. Mm-hmm. It was his first film. It was my first film. So we wanted to do something a bit different for an Australian movie, which basically meant we wanted to do something that is a little... well, not a little. It's actually so far removed from what we do here in Australia, it's not funny. I mean, you know, we normally do kitchen sink drama, quirky comedy, which, you know, I love Swallow, which is obviously quirky comedy, but it's a short.
Maybe not quite kitchen sink.
No, not kitchen sink.
Not really.
Definitely.
Werewolves instead.
Yes. That's right.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, we just wanted to basically show that the America doesn't have the monopoly on genre, you know, and there needs to be a lot more films like Crawl Space done here in this country. And yeah, I think the only way to do it is to have a lot of other people. Yeah, you know, what I hope to do is encourage other people who really. I mean, we do have an amazing plethora of people in this country who are genre-based fans and everything, and even Comic-Con is a great example of that, where the numbers of people they're getting showing up. It's like 6 years ago, that was not happening.
No.
30,000 people showing up on a weekend.
Well, it's only their second year, so... I know what you mean, but even
conventions. It was conventions, though, I think they used to be 30 to 60 people showing up.
And those were the people doing the panels, weren't they?
Yeah, probably.
They used to have to pay people to go to conventions.
Yeah, well, you know, pretty much. It's changed quite considerably.
So
I think the audience is changing as well. And, you know, in Australia, we don't make films, I think, actually, even for the Australian audience. You know, I'm not going to say that. Yeah, we make some good films, but unfortunately, they just don't. I don't think they necessarily resonate not only with, well, they definitely don't resonate with international audiences, but they hardly resonate with Australian audiences. Yeah. So.
And Australian fans too, because Australian fans are very particular, and there's a lot of horror genre fans out there who aren't getting fed.
And we know that they are actually they're not getting fed, but they're also hungry for it as well, because I mean, you know, we talked about the Evil Dead. Yeah. Evil Dead is doing
Look how, and that wasn't even going to have a cinema release. Yeah. I mean, it's already very limited, but Nova's being able to put a few interesting films on, but heck, there's a real deficit, I think. And you're right. I mean, apart from all, you are on a soapbox. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm.
A soapbox perhaps filled with arms and legs and perhaps zombie heads or something.
Yes,
but
yes.
Still, it's a good point of a reference that we don't have any...
Yeah, but I think it's also to do with the... It's also to do with the Australian... funding bodies not really it's not that they don't necessarily they don't necessarily support genre films. I think actually they don't understand them, so because they don't understand them, they don't support them, and I think that needs to change. They need to have a bit of a I actually think they need an independent body of directors who actually have already made genre films, and yeah, I'm not going to necessarily include myself in there, but people like Greg McLean, you know, Cairns Brothers, Mark Hartley, Jamie Blanks, maybe. But I will include me in there.
You will include
me. But you know what I mean? But I mean, people who love the genre. People who love the genre, and then can say, and say, look, I think this script is a winner and you should put money into that.
This should work, yeah.
Let's Americans makes a lot more films than we do, and they make anywhere from 300 to 600 films a year just in California, and it accounts for 8% of the economy. Ours, we make like 30 films a year, and of those 15 maybe get put into cinemas, and of those, one maybe get sold overseas.
Mm. It is,
and it's
sad.
Not very good.
Hmm?
And it's not very good.
You can't say that. Not on radio.
Well, we do need to have more different genre films. And,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, The Cabin in the Woods, like we discussed off air, The Cabin in the Woods did so enormously well. And that almost didn't happen in any screen showing in Australia. You know, it was, but it had to be done by a petition.
But
is
I think it's
that
do,
what we need.
I think again, something we talked about over, off, not on air, is that you can if you go out and if you make a good comedy or a good drama in this country, it's still hard to sell that overseas. Mm. But even if you make a good horror, but if that horror turns out bad, nobody ever goes to make a bad horror. But there's actually still a market for that overseas. There's actually a market for bad horror. Mm. So, but of course, you don't go out to make one. So if you make a good horror. Fantastic, brilliant, you know, and I'm talking sci-fi, action, all of the sort of genres that Australians tend to not make.
They're
you know, you can sell them overseas a lot easier than you can a comedy or a, they just don't understand our sense of
humor. Well, I think one film you've worked on it, and it's The Loved Ones. That's done very well.
It did do very well.
It's, overseas
it's,
too.
It's done, but it's more so in the very independent market.
Yeah.
Again, it didn't
Once
necessarily
again, yeah.
get a big wide release, but it did find an audience and has fantastic reviews. And again, that was a very different Australian film, which wasn't, unfortunately, supported here in this country. Unfortunately, not supported, I'm sorry to say, but also by the public. Because I think there's a stigma about Australian films.
When's
the last Australian film any of us any saw? We're all shaking our heads.
Yeah.
I don't know. None of us can name it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Can't think of the name of it. Crawl Space. No, that hasn't happened yet. All right.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right with The Loved Ones. That's an interesting idea that maybe that's the time is right now.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Well, so basically, my point is, go to the Astor at 7 p.m. on Sunday and watch my film. Support Australian film, genre film.
Yeah, I would love to see more a genre film that isn't made by overseas interests, that is made by local people.
Well, we need one genre film here to be made in this country. If we took a $7 million. If we took a film made in this country that costs $7 million, like a comedy, and that doesn't sell overseas and hardly even makes any money here, and if we instead made seven $1 million films, which is what the Americans are doing, you create, yes, people are getting paid less, but you're creating more jobs for actors, crew, and so forth. And if they're all genre-based, you put it into a commercial market that essentially sells. If one of those films becomes a sore and insidious, you'll turn the Australian film industry around. Mm-hmm. I mean, people will just look at it and go, hang on, this is what we should be doing. This is crazy.
I mean, look at Saw and
unfortunately,
the
again,
franchise.
That went offshore because they didn't support it. They didn't understand the script. I'm sure that script came across their desk and they go, oh, this is horrible. No one will watch this.
Yeah. Who wants to watch
$20 million a year later.
Yeah. And, of course, he moved on to, obviously, Insidious, and that's done really well, almost become quite cultish.
Absolutely.
And now The Conjuring, which is getting a lot of bites and a lot of buzz as well outside of Australia, but again, it may have a limited release, which is a little bit disappointing. I don't know, Mia, where do you fall on the side of the discussion, if you don't mind me asking?
No, not at all. Look, I'm a makeup artist and I work in special effects in film. I am very horror based. I'm known as like a blood and guts person. I do a lot of that kind of work. Swallow is my second film. I use, I guess, what I have around me, which was special effects artists and my love of horror and blood.
You seem like such a nice person too.
Whenever I try and write anything, even if it's, just start working in comedy, within two or three pages in, someone dies.
And then they died. Well, it is horror, and that's part of the thing you have to deal with, the tropes that are in there and...
Yeah, look, I do wish to make a feature film one day, hopefully, and that will definitely be in the horror genre, without a doubt.
Excellent. Well, we support it here 100% on Sci-Fi and Scream. We just can't get enough local creators, and your backgrounds, both of you, are special effects and makeup, I believe.
Yeah.
So at least you know what you're doing when it comes to the gore. And what frightens people excites people,
I guess. I've always said that special effects makeup in this country is the worst, in some ways, the worst business you ever want to go in. Because there's not any special effects makeup films made here in Australia.
Yeah.
So decided to make my own films where I can do all the special effects makeup work in it. And I put every effect possibly imaginable in it.
It must be just so much fun. Like, as far as makeup goes, that must be the pinnacle stuff to do.
It is, because you're waiting for the project to come along that actually excites you. You get other people's either short scripts or features, and sometimes you go, someone just gets their throat slit or doing this, it's boring, normal, we can do that in a heartbeat. But you want something that a bit more meat on the skewer. Meat to be eviscerated, which is like, so when something like that comes along, you go, ooh, this... first of all, how the hell are we going to do that? Which is exciting, because you go... But the thing is, as I said, there's just not enough of those films made in this country, so it's really tricky business to get into, which is why we make our own films with all that sort of stuff in it.
Just shove it in there, lots of gore and blood and action.
It's a bit more than just shove it in there. We do write a script, but
don't demise.
I don't come in here and tell you how you're
No, please, you've seen my running shoe. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Marshall Allman from True Blood, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Well, welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream. I have on the phone line here, all the way from Canada, Maurizio Guarani. Cool. And it's wonderful to speak to you. You are the keyboardist and multi-instrumentalist and composer in the very famous and iconic prog rock band Goblin. You guys will be playing here down under in Melbourne July the 14th at the Billboard. Now, will that be the first time you've come out to Australia?
No, that will be the second time. Last year we came, never been there. Now we are coming twice.
Yeah, I know.
Great.
This is a very special event. Will it be just one show in Melbourne?
In Melbourne, yes, just one show.
Just the one. And you were a self-taught keyboardist, from all things a musician, and one of the original founders, are you, of Goblin since 1975?
I'm not the exact original founder, but mm-hmm. I'm there since the first year, because the real founder are Claudio and Massimo. I joined the Goblin in summer 1975, be considered one of the old ones.
Now, did you ever, I guess you get this question all the time, but did you ever think for one minute that this would be happening today, so many, you know, decades later?
Absolutely not. First of all, that time we had no computers, no internet, nothing. So thinking of something like that, it would be impossible, because things were so short. Maybe a movie or a song going for 10 years was already a lot of time at that period. After finishing Deep Red, that was a blast. We went immediately on top of the chart, and so there was a need to put together a band just to start and playing live, but that's why I joined. And then,
okay. Oh, I see.
And we did immediately after that Roller, that is not with a movie. Mm. And then, yeah, we worked on Suspiria.
Now, were you involved with the score of the movie Patrick?
Yeah.
Because, of course, that has a resonance with Australian listeners and audiences, because it is an Australian horror film as such. And how did that work out?
People are asking me, of course, this, but if you think about that, was I think we are talking about 1978 or 79.
Yeah,
35 or 36 year old at that time. I went to the daily agenda, how do you call? And so, yeah, studio, Patrick, recording, blah, blah, blah. But to tell you the truth, I don't remember much or almost nothing about it. Because keep in mind, we were working a lot in studio. So maybe after that session, there was another session in another studio for another record. So going back now and seeing that we did this stuff, you say, how can you forget? But if you think about in the middle of a lot of work that you're done in studio and arranging, composing, and performing, it might be something that you...
it's a lot of... there's a lot of highlights and you know, incredibly famous films from the Giallo-verse, you know, with Argento and so on, and of course Patrick, a sequel or reboot to Patrick, is currently going to be at the Melbourne International Film Festival in July, August. Did you know that there was going to be a remake?
No.
A sequel, yeah.
Yeah, you see?
Look what happens. There you go. Now, of course, because we do look at horror, and in particular we have looked at Giallo before, and Argento's work, but you've also worked with another great Italian director, film director, Falci. Lucio Falci, Beyond, City of Living Dead, and Zombie 2, amongst others. Yeah.
In these movies, actually, I didn't compose, I just performed, because the music, the author of the music is Fabio Frizzi.
Yeah.
But I was part of, I was making all the sounds and things. So
how much influence or did you yourself have on that particular sound of those films?
Again, if you think after years to something, you can identify a sound, right? That period, the sound was that sound that I was making with my keyboards, and, you know, this mix of a low choir and
when, you know, it says that Goblin was dormant for some time, but it's come back again and again. Is back to the Goblin under that name. You worked there for a couple of years, I believe, and then obviously back in 2009 you started touring as Goblin again through Europe, in any case, I believe, and now it's New Goblin.
Sure, we can be considered a Goblin, of course, but when we release albums, since we are not... this is just a copyright question.
I see. Okay.
If we release an album, we cannot be Goblin because we are not them with them anymore. So we are an independent label. We publish ourselves, so we could not use the name Goblin to release CDs and DVD and albums. Mm. But we are recognized as Goblin, of course. Yeah, actually, there is a website that is, okay, the name is complicated, unfortunately. It's creaturesfromadrawer.com.
Uh-huh. A drawer or drawing?
Drawer, like a...
Oh, a drawer.
Drawer chest, like
yep.
a...
Dot com, okay. So people can look it up there.
Of course, you can find the link even on my own website. It's Maurizio Guarini, MAURIZIOGUARINI .com.
Yep. Now, when you come here to Melbourne, what can people expect on the 14th of July at the Billboard?
And strong exchange of energy with us on the stage.
Cool.
And lots of fun and a lot of emotions. That what the music should be about, right?
Certainly, Maurizio, it's been really wonderful speaking to you. You're an icon to people who are very passionate about soundtracks to, you know, thrillers and horror films from Italy. From Italia and from the Giallo-verse and Argento films and Fulci films.
Okay, thank you for calling me anyway, and I hope to see you in Melbourne.
Hello, this is Patricia Quinn on Sci-Fi and Squeam, like Elizabeth Bott and Just Williams. Squeam and Squeam and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Carrie Fisher, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
And here we are. Yes, Sci-Fi and Squeam is in the building here on Joy 94.9. We've had a message, actually. I'm in complete agreement with everything you are discussing tonight. Big Greg McLean fan, Andy in Reservoir. Thanks, Andy. Good one, choice. And of course, another person's message in, The Loved Ones is the second best Aussie film they've ever seen after The Castle. Fair enough. That's all right. We don't mind that. Keeping it Australian with a little bit of New Zealand in there, of course. But hey, who can... Beggars can't be choosers, can they?
They're all the same. Really.
Dean Rankin thinks we're all the same. Now, that song was If I Had a Tale, indeed, if I did. Queens of the Stone Age from their Like Clockwork album. I do like them a lot. Now, I think we still do have tales, but they're hidden. Anyway, moving on. We've got Dean, we've got Mia, and Justin in the house, in the studio. What's up, Dean? I need to ask you, of course, because off air, your career, you know, everyone else has been asking these questions that I wanted to ask you. So let's talk about you.
Wow.
Dean Rankin and your artistic flair and comic career.
I guess what we were talking about off air was that, so I'm going to be at the Oz Comic Con
yes.
thing on the weekend, and I, you know, sort of my, the fun thing I do at the conventions is draw people in a Simpsons doll or draw their heads in a jar.
Oh, that's exciting, a head in a jar.
It's pretty fun, I have to
Why
say.
Why did you choose a jar?
I just like Futurama.
Of course.
So, yep. you know, so people quite like it. I don't know. It's, you know, a bit of a popular thing to do. And I was saying, again, off air, it's kind of like there's other really fantastic artists you'll find at the Comic-Con. And if you want their stuff, it's kind of like fine art, but mine's much quicker. It's like mac and cheese, you know. It's something that, right. you know.
It's sort of like fast food art.
Fast food art.
No.
But, you know, it gives it a little bit of buzz, but, you know, ultimately doesn't leave you satisfied.
But you get your head in a jar.
It's a good time, and we're saying how much it, you know, it's going to be a fun weekend, and you
yeah,
know, a lot of
yeah.
people come out. It'll
and
be
we
fun.
Were so saying, you know,
you're saying you're a fan of Futurama. Have you yeah. tried to, have you done your, you know, write to them to try and get a job with them?
Oh,
as
it's
well?
A, it was the same company, so I've oh, yeah? done a little bit of stuff with Futurama
oh, cool.
as well.
Yeah, cool.
So yeah, mm. so it's fun. It's good.
That's all
you know,
good.
And before that, I was like drawing comics for 20 years, and no one cared. But yeah. so, you know, you do something like Simpsons, and you know, go,
we
oh,
cared.
Suddenly you go, oh, okay, we know that, you know, so that's kind of cool. it's quite a privileged position to be in, I think. You know?
So if you weren't doing Futurama, The Simpsons, that type of franchise or work, what would you be doing, do you think?
Well, I do other stuff on the side, so it's not the only work I do. Like, I've got a creator-owned comic called Itty Bitty Bunnies in Rainbow Pixie Candyland.
What's the acronym for that?
The bunnies. And so they're about bunnies. So that's a story about these two naked drug-using bunnies who travel to a fantasy land.
As you do if you're a rabbit.
Yes.
Down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, that's right.
Like
that. So this has been picked up by a US company. So so that's a lot of fun to do. So.
Animation. Now, have you done moving cartoons?
I'm very lazy. If it was, I think animation is sort of one of my strongest influences, it's such a time-consuming kind of thing. In comics, you can just kind of, do it relatively quickly. You know?
Yeah, all right. Head in a jar. I still can't get that image out of my head. I know Justin's keen to have his head in a jar.
Well, Justin will show me pictures at his at the workshop, but he's got a number of heads in jars already. So,
Wicked of Oz, this is. Tell us about the Wicked of Oz. I mean, it's just fabulous. I was there on the weekend, very fortunate, saw a few interesting things.
Yeah, no, Wicked of Oz is primarily a special effects company, but at the same time has now turned into a production company, as well as, I guess you could call it, an artist's collective of different artists who, as me describes it, what do you think?
It fulfilled my childhood fantasy, my Andy Warhol factory fantasy. And Justin is very much like the Warhol character, and it's filled of, maybe 10 artists there. And we've been there maybe 2 or 3 years now.
No, 4 or 5 years.
Are you serious? With time.
Time is fleeting.
It's like collecting Pokemon, because we've got we've got photographers and painters, and I mean, I'm collecting these people,
In jars?
No, not in jars. And who else we got? We got body painters and sculptors, lighting designers,
Belmore's clothing.
We've got a whole bunch of people. So it's really incredible, and everybody works together, and we're all very. It's a very
it's
collective.
A, it's we a still
have
family.
One. We still have one studio for rent if anyone's about.
Do you get them to like Pokemon? Do you get them to little battle against each other or something like that?
That just happens naturally. Okay. They all have their special powers, and then they all come out.
And the great thing is,
me is really good at coffee.
And I guess the great thing is, no one gets hurt with the weapons, because they're props.
No, exactly.
They're not real people. They look real, those shovels and knives and guns, but they're not real.
No, nothing's real. Everything's fake. All the babies in jars and heads and bodies and everything, it's all fake. It's all fake.
Cool.
Excellent. Or it's the perfect crime. Either one or the other.
Now back to Mia, putting you right on the spot, for Swallow, and because of the content of it. What gave you the inspiration to do a werewolf film?
I finished a film called Auditioning Fanny. Mm-hmm. Wanted to do my...
Excellent.
There seems to be a common thing going on.
It does, doesn't it? So Auditioning Fanny also starred Lulu McClatchy. So I wanted to write something using the same actors, the same cast and crew, and incorporating what I had around me, which was special effects artists. And...
And a circle of... a lot of gay friends.
I do have a lot of gay friends, and I've been told, someone joked once that if my laptop was stolen and they went through my iTunes, they would think it was a gay man's laptop.
Right. It's a lot of Kylie in there.
No, I love show tunes. I love musicals. I didn't say cool gay guy. I'm like an older, like a 70-year-old gay guy. I like a Vita and...
A bit of Broadway.
Yeah. A lot of Broadway. So I tend to think in little scenarios. So I kind of think little funny jokes, and I write dialogue down, and I think, it was a cowboy thing. I had like a little kind of cowboy sketch, and I have two fantastic actors, Kevin D and Jay Bowen. So I did a little sketch for them. Then the werewolf element came into it, and
But did you have a favourite werewolf film? Did anything?
A favourite? American Werewolf in London, without a doubt.
Fantastic. The special effects on that are still incredibly gruesome and awesome, even after all this time. Yes. Love it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we were all... I think there's a lot of people who are in agreement. And also there's a shift in the film industry, because even with Evil Dead promoting themselves as, CG-free, that everybody is getting a little bit, I think, over... digital and CG.
Absolutely.
To be honest,
I think
just because you can doesn't mean you should. I think, and also I believe that doing things physically is I've always said that out of adversity comes creativity, and so if you have to think in practical terms of how I'm going to film this thing, it makes you think so much more differently. And and in a real world environment, you don't defy the laws of gravity as, you know, I'm not going to name any movies, Underworld. But, you know.
That's all right. I love Kate. I love Kate Beckinsale.
I'm just talking about digital effects, man.
Yeah, no, you're right. There's too much is too much. Yeah. As much as it is incredible, and I know there's a lot of teams, a lot of work goes into that, and heaps load of money. But, of course, it is great to see good old-fashioned blood splattering.
Absolutely.
Legs going into a mincer, like, with 100 bloody acres. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Spoiler, but everyone who hasn't seen it.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Thanks.
But it's more so to do with the new filmmakers that are coming up through the ranks. Yeah, I'm talking your 20-plus years ones. They're if they're brought up purely on digital effects, that's all they're going to understand. They're not going to understand it can be done differently. It can be done physically, and you can do everything practically.
It looks better.
It looks better because you're in the physical constraints of the real physical world with physical elements. Yeah. And I think the actors actually get a much more visceral experience doing it, and you'll get much better performances.
Absolutely.
That's what I think anyway.
Dean, have you ever forayed into the special effects world?
No, nothing about it.
Well, you're learning now, just like I am.
But I'm just enjoying the conversation. It's good.
No, it's interesting because, I did look at that huge hyper film that's out now, The Man with the S. Not an S. It's not an S on his chest. It means hope. That big film that's come out recently. And to me, there was so much special effects, and particularly action effects, all CGI, of course, that you start to feel punch drunk. Mm.
Yes.
And you just crave for something a bit slower and more realistic.
Well, it becomes more intimate as well. If you basically have to, again, it's if you're stuck within the physical constraints of the physical world, it basically, I think it starts to become a little bit more intimate. And I think exactly it's like those. I mean, you know, I'm a big fan of bad movies. I'm not saying they're bad, but like things like Michael Bay, Transformers.
Movies,
I love popcorn movies. But, you know, sometimes you get to the point where you're just seeing, as you say, you come out punch drunk going, what the hell did I just see? Was that a...
I actually heard someone describe that film as eye rape.
Eye rape?
Oh, okay, that is serious.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Yes, well, can't beat that. Mm. I mean, the future, okay, after Crawl Space has done its time.
Oh, yeah, I'm
going to
make
Melbourne.
A massive, big digital film.
Right. You heard it here first.
No.
It's on record. This will be podcast.
No.
Where to for Crawl Space as far as festivals
Crawl Space will be doing the rounds in Australia. Mm-hmm. We've already had interest. Yeah, we've got a lot of people wanting to bring it to their states, like Sydney and Queensland and all that sort of stuff, which is great.
Yeah.
But, you know, basically we're looking to the future as far as what we're doing next. You know, want to bring bigger movies, but genre films here more than likely Melbourne or Sydney, but that's sort of all in the works at the moment.
Mm.
And again, trying to keep it real, keep it physical effects. And, you know, I mean, if they did it in the 80s, and that's, I mean, obviously I'm a product of the 80s, of they're my favourite films, and if they could do it, like all my favourite films are, you know, obviously things like, you know, like a lot of people's, like Mia's is like American Werewolf and
Jaws.
Jaws. And these are all things that, you know, again, it's like Jaws is a perfect example. Out of diversity comes creativity. That shark didn't work. Because it didn't work, they had to think of creative ways to actually make it scary, which then essentially made it, you know, a much better film. So.
And when you see less, sometimes it's even more frightening because it was underwater.
It's the ultimate shark film. There hasn't been one since, I don't think.
Seeing a terrified woman in water is enough to you know, scare the bejesus out of most viewers who watched it the first time around.
Yeah. But it's even it's even like Loved Ones. I mean, on Loved Ones, we were shooting. Just a real quick anecdote. On Loved Ones, we were shooting the drill into the head sequence,
we
made a full copy of Xavier Samuel, and you know, it was able to be drilled in. It smoke was pouring out, blood was coming out, and everything like this. And we filmed it, and the director, he's a lovely, lovely guy, Sean Byrne. He was shaking his head, going, "Oh my God, what are we doing?" And I said, "Mate, you wrote this thing." I said, "There's no way this is going to end up in the cut. It's going to be maybe special editions. There's no way this is going to." And it didn't. But the thing is, it still affects that scene. Affects people so much, and yet you never see the drill going into the head. Ever.
That's true. You hear the sound
hear it all?
Of bone and drill, and a bit of dust.
Everyone,
smoke.
Everyone, you don't see it, but everyone's, you know. But we filmed it, but we never actually put it into the film.
So, no, it's a brilliant piece of. I guess it's that tension that is created. That you're taking away the tension and the imagination of viewers now, it seems, of the new generation, and it'll be great to see that old-fashioned sort of skill scaring people come back, yeah, which you guys are doing, definitely. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam here on Joy 94.9.
This is Mark Shepherd. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Sci-Fi and Squeam with Sonia Dean Rankin, Mia, of course, Mia Kate Russell, and Justin Dix, and pretty much half of, well, not half, a little bit of the Wicked of Oz are in the studio here tonight. It's great to have all of you guys here. And time, of course, has moved along very quickly. So we're going to do a wrap-up now with the minutes that we have left. And Dean, tell us what's up next for yourself. And
I'm not doing anything, really. I don't know. I'm going home.
You're going to go home?
Yeah, so look.
Pack your lunch for Saturday and Sunday.
It's a big weekend, so, yeah. You know, hopefully people can come down to Oz Comic Con. That'll be fun. And
at the Royal Exhibition Building.
Yes, the old one.
The beautiful old one in Carlton. Yeah. Lovely.
So, there's lots of cool guests, you know, the Shat. William Shatner's going to be there.
That's what I was hoping you were saying.
the girls from Charmed and stuff like that.
Everyone's there.
Up.
Shannon Doherty, awesome.
I know. Hello. Oh, my God.
Yay.
So it's going to be fun.
There's so many wonderful people going to be there. You know, the guys from Eureka, which is a great TV show, favourite of mine.
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome. Nice. And you're going to be there too.
I am going to be there being
heads
awesome.
Heads and jars.
Yes.
Thanks, Dean.
That's it for me. That's what I'll be doing.
And Mia.
Yes.
Next.
Yes, I'll just say, look, come and support the world's first gay werewolf priest film. So tickets are on sale at the Astor website, 7th of July, so it's playing before Crawl Space.
World premiere,
people.
Yeah. It's not even finished yet.
No, we will actually...
We will be finished, though.
Yes, we will be.
Isn't that the producer's...
Partly.
Issue there?
No, we're almost very close. We're very close.
Really close.
You're freaking out at all. That's cool. That's how things work in the film industry.
It's cracked the whip. Keep you on your toes.
Yeah, she's a bit nervous.
And Justin, of course, with Crawl Space.
Yes. Yeah. We'll also be at Comic-Con. We've got a panel there.
Yeah, cool.
We're on Saturday at 3 p.m. I've got a panel with some of the actors from Crawl Space. It should be fun because they're always a hoot. Got a lovely bunch of actors, as well as Greg McLean. So we're going to be doing a
fantastic
panel there, showing some clips before the movie. Mm. Tickets for the Astor screening will be on sale at Comic-Con. We have a little special going on there at Comic-Con. Mm. And then the screening's on at 7 p.m. at the Astor.
Mm.
With, of course, the world premiere of Swallow Prior.
Yeah.
And we'll be doing a Q&A after that one as
well.
Yes.
You guys got to be knackered, to speak.
Yeah. I'll be inebriated.
Well, it is great to have you guys all in here. Now, where can people find out more about Crawl Space? Do you have a site?
Straight to the Astor.
Just straight to there?
Straight to the Astor.
Astor website.
Same
website.
With Swallow?
Absolutely. Yep.
Or I should say Mia.
You can call me Swallow.
Swallow, my little Swallow. And Dean, you have got a site? Got something?
Probably just on Facebook. Look me up on Facebook.
Just go to Oz Comic Con too.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I'm around.
You're around.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you. We'll see you there.
Yeah.
All of you.
Yeah.
Dean
we'll
will be
at
the Astra.
Yes, yes. Now that I've said on the radio, I'll be at the Astra.
Whether you like it or not, no, you will be there. All right. So thanks again, everybody, for coming in and joining us tonight here on Sci-Fi and Squeam. Any thoughts, please don't hesitate to email us again on air@joy.org.au. And also thanks to the guys from Goblin for having a chance to speak to them as well. It was great to speak to Maurizio Guerrini, who are playing July the 14th. Excellent. And next week, even more, we will be looking at Pacific Rim, the new Del Toro film. Let's see what that's about. But also we'll be having our very first comics interlude or segment to look at all the latest things that are happening in the comics world with Andy Hawken. So, yeah, great. Tune in next week.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.